Mysterious-ish.
Contains graphic and explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Like, you might have to twist it so that it's tighter.
I'll have to round with it later.
Okay. Hi!
Hello!
How are you? How was your nap?
Oh, it was great. I wanted to sleep a little bit longer, but that's okay. I could sleep forever, but my nap... No. Luke tells me my naps are too long, but what does he know?
Okay. How long are your naps?
Typically 3 or more hours.
Girl. Yeah. If I take a nap, first of all, I hardly ever take naps because if I take a nap during the week, like while we're working, if I take a nap, I will not go to sleep that night.
I can take a nap and then like by the time it's bedtime, I'm like, yeah, let's go. I'm ready.
No, I cannot really. If I take a nap, it would have to be like as soon as I got home from work, I would have to go and take a nap and then... Like, maybe I would be tired when it came to bedtime, but no, if I take a nap after work, I will not sleep that night. I really hate it because I would love to just be able to nap whenever the fuck I wanted, but...
Right.
But no, my naps are on average between 1 and 2 hours.
I just can't. Like, Luke will try to wake me up after the first hour and, like, I'll fight him and I'm like, no.
Let me sleep. I'm sleeping. Oh, I get it. Dylan takes like 5 hour naps and I'm like, sir, that's asleep.
That's asleep.
Sir. He literally couldn't come. There was one day we came home. Okay, well, I guess he had a headache. It was Valentine's Day. We came home from work and he had a headache. And so he went and laid on the couch and he slept literally from the time we got off work until the time that I had supper made at like 6:30. So he slept for 4 hours.
Oh my goodness.
I was like, okay, this is fine. Everything's fine. Great. And then he went to bed at like 10 o'clock, the same as he always does. It's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Anyways, listeners, how long are your naps? So Erica, you have a story for me today?
I sure do.
I'm excited. Tell me.
We're going to be talking about Heaven's Gate today.
Oh, hell yeah.
So Marshall Applewhite met Bonnie Nettles in March of 1972.
Damn, wait, hold back. No, back it up. I thought this took place in like the 90s.
It does, but this okay. is the beginning. Whew.
Okay, sorry. I'll shut up.
You're fine. We're doing a little backstory.
Okay.
So they allegedly met at a hospital where Bonnie was working, and Marshall said to be visiting an ill friend there. Marshall recalled that he felt that he had known Bonnie for a really long time, and he came to the conclusion that they known each other, like, in a past life.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you. No. Do you have a person that you feel like that with? Like a person that you met and you're like, I've known this person forever, but you just met them? The answer can be no, because my answer is no.
I'm trying to think. Like, I feel like, yeah, I feel like no so far. I haven't found that person. Hopefully I feel one like, day I would.
Yeah. I mean, we're only, you know, 26 and 27. Like, we've got time.
Right.
But I think the closest, I haven't really met someone that I've been like, wow, I knew you in a past life. But I do, like, there are people that I've found that I connected with like super, super quickly, you and Kelsey, like I just clicked with mm-hmm. both of you like immediately. So no like past life feelings, but definitely like pretty immediate clicking. You know what yes. I mean?
Yep. I get that.
Anyway, sorry.
No, you're fine. But Bonnie did tell Marshall that the meeting had been foretold to her by extraterrestrials, which persuaded him into thinking he had a divine assignment.
Oh, dear God. Here we go.
Together, the two thought a lot about the life of Saint Francis of Assisi and read many books by Helena Blavatsky.
Uh-huh. That's Russian.
R.D. Lang and Richard Bach. They kept a King James Bible and studied different passages from the New Testament. They mainly focused on Christology, asceticism, severe self-discipline. Oh. Okay. Eschatology. What is that? A part of theology concerned with death. Ooh. Judgment and the final destiny of soul and humankind. Oh. Put that away.
No, we're not bringing in our own existential dread today. Thanks. I don't have time for that.
So Marshall also read up on science fiction.
That's a drastic difference from fucking fear of death. What? Sir.
It's fine. So by June 19th, Marshall and Bonnie's beliefs had solidified, and they concluded they had been chosen to fulfill biblical prophecies and that they were given a higher level of mind than other people.
Just the like grandiosity that these people come up with in their brains. I can't. This case, like Heaven's Gate and People's Temple with Jim Jones, those two are like it's not stereotypical, the word I'm thinking of, but they are the pinnacle of cult leaders. They embody every single characteristic we covered in our psychology episode. Every fucking characteristic. And then some.
They wrote a pamphlet together that described Jesus's reincarnation as a Texan. And
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't. He's a Texan, like from Texas? What?
I don't know.
Jesus is from, like, Texas. Fucking, he's brown. Jesus is a brown man. What do you mean he's from Texas? I can't. My eyes are watering. Erica, you literally made me cry. I fucking can't. Oh, shit. Okay, so Jesus from Texas. It's just the most outrageous shit I've ever heard.
And directed references to Marshall.
Wait, so is Marshall saying that he is Jesus reincarnated?
I mean, we'll get into that.
Jesus Christ. Oh, literally. Oh, sorry.
They also said that they were the two witnesses described in the book of Revelation. They would occasionally also visit churches or other spiritual groups to speak about their identities. They often referred to themselves as the two or the UFO two.
Here comes Marshall's science fiction. There it is.
Bonnie and Marshall gained their first follower in May of 1974. Her name was Sharon Morgan. Sharon abandoned her children to join these two, but after a month, Sharon left Marshall and Bonnie and went back to her family.
Good girl.
The two were shortly arrested and charged with credit card fraud for using Sharon's cards, but Sharon did consent to Marshall and Bonnie to use them.
Okay, so it's not real, but...
Yeah, the charges were soon dropped, but a routine check showed that Marshall had stolen a rental car from St. Louis 9 months prior to this.
Oh my God.
And idiot. He still had the car.
I don't know how people think that they could honestly get away with stealing a rental car. You don't think there's trackers in them bitches?
Right.
Hello? Duh. Anyways... That's almost as bad as fucking Keith and Nancy hiding in the closet. I can't.
Oh!
They hid in the closet to avoid being arrested. Mm-hmm. Hiding in closets, stealing a rental car. Yeah. Smooth move, X-Lax.
So Marshall spent 6 months in jail in Missouri and was released early in 1975, joining Bonnie once again.
Woo!
Woohoo! The The two soon put up advertisements for meetings. There they would recruit disciples, and they called them the crew. At these events, they claimed to represent beings from another planet and looked for participants for an experiment.
They said, there's the sci-fi.
They said whoever agreed to take a part in this experiment, they would be brought to a higher evolutionary level.
Oh my God.
September of 1975, Bonnie and Marshall preached at a motel hall in Waldport, Oregon. And then all of a sudden, 20 people vanished.
What?
Later in the year, CBS Evening News made an announcement. Walter Cronkite reported on the disappearances, saying, "A score of persons have disappeared. It's a mystery whether they've been taken on a so-called trip to eternity or simply been taken."
Yikes.
The reality of it was the two, or who were now being called Doe and T at the time, had arranged for the group to go underground. They led nearly 100 people across the country, and they would sleep in tents, bags, and even beg on the streets. These two went by many different aliases over the years. Another popular one was Bo and Peep.
What?
Yep. They went by Bo and Peep for a little bit.
I've never heard that one. That's quite comical.
The group did have many names throughout the years before they did settle on Heaven's Gate. So, Marshall thought he was related to Jesus.
Yeah, he fucking... Ah! Jesus was a brown man from fucking, like, Israel. Like, you're not gonna tell me that he was a white man from Texas. I'm sorry. Fucking... Okay.
So he thought he was related to Jesus, making sure, him babe. The... making him the evolutionary kingdom above heaven. Or, no, above human, sorry.
I hate it here.
In his writings, he believed himself to be Jesus's successor and the present representative of Christ on earth.
This episode, this whole season is going to have so much scoffing and just like quiet giggles. It's just going to be like constant. Okay. These people.
Marshall and Bonnie taught early on that Marshall's body was inhabited by the same alien spirit that belonged to Jesus, and that Bonnie was presented as God the Father.
I mean, at least they're being like gender non-conforming, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. God reincarnated as a woman.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'll give them that.
In April of 1976, the group stopped recruiting and became secluded, and new behavioral guidelines came into place, like banning sexual activities and the use of drugs.
Okay.
Numbers.
Wait, okay, hold on. Yep. Wait, no, I'm confused. Yep. They banned sex and drugs, or they banned sex and used drugs?
They banned both, like sex and drugs.
Okay, yes. Just checking.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. It was just my brain not catching up.
You're okay. Numbers grew before the internet days of the UFO clan follow. They all seem to have something in common, a need for communal belonging to a alternative path to higher existence outside of the constraints of practiced faith. Does that make sense?
Yes. They wanted something besides organized religion.
The group identified themselves by the business name Higher Source, and they used their website to convert people and recruit even more followers. This was going on in the early 90s.
You can tell.
Rumors began to spread throughout the group in the following years that the upcoming comet Hale-Bopp held a secret into their kingdom of heaven.
Okay. I'm just going to shut up. I can't.
So let's skip to October of 1996. The group decided to rent a large mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, California. And they called this mansion the
monastery. That's where monks live, in a monastery. That doesn't... okay.
What?
Fucking... Okay! None of this makes sense.
The monks would not approve.
No, probably the fuck not.
They paid $7,000 a month in cash.
What?
And listen.
In the 90s?
In the 90s.
Bro.
Also, listen.
Oh, God.
I can't wait for you to hear this next sentence.
Oh, fuck. Here we go.
In the same month, they bought alien abduction insurance.
No, they didn't.
They did.
Did they also buy a fuck ton of aluminum foil and make hats out of it?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
That's great. So, these people are fucking delusional.
They are. So, this insurance, all right, would cover up to 50 of the members and would pay out $1 million per person.
No.
So, like, it would cover abduction, impregnation, or even death by aliens.
Okay. Erica, I'm updating our podcast contract that we don't have. Both of us need to have alien abduction
insurance.
And then both of us need to come forward and say we both got abducted by aliens.
Okay, bet.
So then we each get $1 million.
You know what, Caitlin? I was literally thinking about this. Like, when I found out that alien abduction insurance was a thing, I was like, now, what if some of the missing people in the world where they say that they've been abducted, like, people was like, oh, they got abducted. What if that's what they're doing? What if they cashed out on their money and they're just living their best life, living under a new name, left their old life thinking that they're, like, they're missing and shit?
I sincerely hope so. Babe, you do you. You fucking get yours.
You fucking get yours.
You get your $1 million worth of fucking alien abduction insurance. That is...
Yes.
Fuck the system. Eat the rich. Become the rich.
Right.
Get abducted by an alien. Mm-hmm. Quote unquote. Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Oh, Jesus.
So... Before this, in June of 1995, the group purchased land in New Mexico, and they started creating a compound out of rubber tires and concrete, but they suddenly left in April of 1996.
Okay.
So, March 19th and the 20th of 1997, Marshall taped himself in Doe's final exit. Marshall said that there was a UFO following the comet, so him and his 38 followers... prepared to unalive themselves so their souls can reach another level.
Mm-hmm. That I don't think I knew this part. I didn't know that
really?
They, yeah, I did not know that they were planning to unalive themselves. What the fuck?
Yeah, it was. You didn't know that it was planned?
No, I thought that they were just waiting for the fucking hail bop to come down and take them to Heaven's Gate or whatever. I also haven't listened to a story about Heaven's Gate in a really fucking long time, so the details are a little fuzzy.
Oh, yeah. So him and his 38 followers prepared to unalive themselves so their souls could reach another level of existence above human, quote-unquote, is what they said.
Great.
Their preparations included each member videotaping themselves with a goodbye message.
That's... horrifying. That is so fucking sad. What the hell?
To have their souls go to this higher place, the group took phenobarbital mixed with applesauce or pudding and washed it down with vodka.
Fucking yikes. I thought they weren't allowed to do drugs.
Well, this was an exception, I guess.
Two drugs right there. Phenobarbital, alcohol. Hello? Dumb.
After they were finished with their mix, they put plastic bags around their heads.
Oh, no! Erica, I don't remember this! Oh, no!
The whole group were wearing the same black shirt and sweatpants, along with brand new black and white Nike Decades, athletic shoes, and an armband patch that said Heaven's Gate Away Team. Also, each member had a $5 bill and three quarters in their pockets.
What? To take with them into the afterlife? Why?
You just never know when you're going to need $5.75.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
I mean, back in the 90s, I could, back in my day, that could get you so much.
Yeah, well, so much for that. Thanks, inflation. Yeah.
It's great.
Everything's not fine. Everything sucks. It's fine. Everything everywhere sucks. Everyone is in pain. Great.
After a member would pass, a living member would remove the bag from the person's head, followed by posing the body so that it lay neatly in its own bed.
Wait. Yeah. So they're doing this one at a time? They're not doing it all at once?
No, so they went in groups.
Ah!
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a little bit, how they said that they, yeah.
Okay.
In an interview with Harry Robinson, the two surviving members said that the identical clothes represented unity, while the shoes were chosen because the group got a good deal on the shoes.
Oh my God.
Marshall, I guess, was also a fan of Nike, so everyone was expected to wear like Nike as well.
Great. Cool.
It is believed that the group died in three days. So when group one went first, group two prepared group one, and the same for group three to group two.
Ugh.
So group one and two contained 15 people, and group three only had 9 people. Between March 22nd and March 26th is when the groups went, they said. Marshall was the third to last member to go in the group. And before the last two people went, they sent packages to numerous Heaven's Gate affiliated and even formerly affiliated people.
Oh, yikes. Can you imagine getting that?
Well, Rio D'Angelo was one of those people to receive a package.
Oh, great.
It arrived March 25th. It contained VHS tapes, one of them being Doe's final exit and the farewell messages from the group.
Oh, no.
It also had a letter inside, and it stated, "We have exited our vehicles just as we entered them." And they would call their bodies vehicles.
Fucking yikes.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't I remember any of this? This is so much. I think I am, like, confusing all of the, like, comments or all of the cults, like, that I've listened to, because I definitely thought that most of the members survived this one. Like, I didn't know that they all unalived themselves. I'm definitely confusing them with another one.
There's I think 2 survivors still.
Okay.
But Rio told his boss, and on they went to the mansion. Rio went to the back door to find it unlocked, and he also had a video camera with him. So he recorded all of this that he saw.
Yeah, fuck. No, I don't want any part of that.
Mm-mm. The San Diego County Sheriff's Department got an anonymous tip through the 911 system at 3:15 on March 26th, telling them that they should do a welfare check on the mansion. The anonymous caller was obviously Rio. And so many news articles actually came out, like, within that day. And some people even feared that there would be other people trying to follow, Heaven's Gate. And so,
yikes.
A 58-year-old man left a note with the date March 27th on it. And it said, "I'm going to the spaceship with Hal Bopp to be with those who have gone before me." And his friend found him March 31st.
So they were right in predicting that people would do that.
Mm-hmm. And there was no known connection that this man had with, like, Heaven's Gate.
Yikes. Did he take his own life the same way?
I don't think it said. I don't think he did. I'm not sure. I certainly hope not.
Sounds like a not pleasant way to go, but not that any way is pleasant, but fuck.
I guess there was still 3 former members that, like, didn't pass away. I don't know why, or I don't know if they were just, like, left.
Yeah, maybe they left before it happened.
But within the 3 months, they did take their own lives, sadly. But allegedly there are two former members that are still alive today and are being believed to maintain the group's website. And as of 2017, that they said that there's no new recruits so far. So
I certainly hope not. Jesus Christ.
But yeah, that's Heaven's Gate.
Fuck me. I didn't know that one was that dark. God damn.
Man, here I am coming in with it hot.
Fuck. I don't know where I, for some reason, thought, and there is probably another cult like this, but for some reason, I thought that they kept moving the date for Hale-Bopp to be coming. Mm-hmm. And then I thought that eventually the members just, like, gave up and went about their lives.
Conspiracy, Caitlin, you're from a different universe and
you fucking popped
into this one.
Fucking might be. Jesus.
And, like, it was a better ending on your end than in this universe, I guess. So
yeah, that would explain why I'm so fucking shocked. What the hell? That's horrible. That was a horrible story. You did a great job of telling it, but that was a horrible story. How many people were there? Did you say? I forget.
There was 38.
Nah. Fucking yikes.
What I find funny is Bonnie really isn't mentioned, but I can't remember if she died before all of this or Bonnie, and I just didn't.
I really thought she did, but I have literally every other detail of this story incorrect, so yeah, I'm probably wrong.
No, she did. Yeah, she did. She died in 1985 of cancer, liver cancer.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's why she disappeared from the story. Okay. Because, like, when I was doing this research, they didn't say anything, but I remember looking her up, and then I remember seeing that she, like, died, and I was like, oh, that's okay, and that's what happened.
But yikes. Oh. Yeah. Wow. All right, you got me.
I got you.
Damn. Maybe I am from another universe. I'm sure there are going to be aspects of this whole season that I'm like, oh, I recognize this little detail, but I don't actually know what happens. Like, I'm sure I listen to so much true crime that, like, I'm sure I will recognize things and forget right. others. Like, oh, fuck. Wow. Okay, well, thanks for telling me that. I'm going to go be horrified. I guess we'll be back with another potentially horrifying story because, you know, cults are disgusting and sad. But everything else in this world is disgusting and sad, so fuck it. Anyways, all right, listeners, try to, you know, live in happiness for a minute or two, but, you know, take a nap, cuddle your dogs or your cats, and eat some yummy food because food always makes me happy.
Oh my gosh, same. I'm about to go grab a snack because it's gonna make me happy.
Literally same. we're having crunch wraps tonight. Homemade crunch wraps. Oh, we're doing that again. So I'm excited.
Ooh, I'm excited for you. I think we're doing pasta.
Yes. I love pasta. I don't
know what kind of pasta yet, but we'll figure it out.
Yummy pasta. It's all yummy. Yes. Pasta is the best. Pasta. Me too.
You can just do anything with it.
Exactly. It's amazing. Any kind of protein, no protein at all. Mm-hmm. Any kind of sauce, any kind of veggies, toppings, just fucking mix and match all over the damn place. Oh, yeah. Delicious.
Delicious.
Okay, well, I'm going to go get a snack, and you go get a snack, and listeners go get a snack, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye forever.
Thank you for listening to Mysterious-ish. All episodes are available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast directory. Follow us on social media at Mysterious-ish Pod. If you have topic suggestions, questions, or stories to share, you can email us at mysteriousishpod@gmail.com or visit our website at mysteriousishpod.com. Make sure to come back next week for another discussion about the mysteries of the universe.